Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I feel a special anointing in this place. The glory fills this place. Could you just, for just a moment, with the fruit of your lips, just begin to thank God. Come on, in your own words, if he's been good to you. If it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't even be here tonight, but he's been good to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I dare you to just give him the praise. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You got to tell it for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say it.
Don't do it without me. Don't do it without me.
want to be included. Anybody want to be included? I want to be in the name of Jesus.
Oh, He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me. Lord, deliver me. 'Cause all I see to do.
Yeah. show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape being afraid. Fill me with you right now. My world needs you right now.
Show me your face. Fill up this space. My world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. I can't escape.
Bring with it a sound that points us to you right now. Erase substitutes right now. Fix what I see. And God, please fix me. Let us see you right now. My world needs you.
Why I'm not ashamed to say.
Apostle Donnell Douglas. We're here to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God is what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited that God had allowed you to tune in on this morning to hear this word that will be coming from our guest, none other than Pastor Rob Williams will be joining us here shortly. And listen, remember, call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. And remember, you guys know, you remember that number. We're going to give it to you anyway. That number is 563-999-3628. Again, that number is 563-999-3628. 888-999-3628. Press 1 if you want us to pray for you. Maybe you want to share your testimony. In fact, you want to share your testimony. Maybe you just want to tell us how the broadcast has been blessing you. And either way, we'll be excited to hear from you. You know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Before we go any further, let us go into effectual fervent prayer. We're going to share our morning scripture. And once we do that, we're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. And by that time, our guest should be on with us. So lend me your hearts for a moment as we pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we give your name glory. We give your name honor. We give your name dominion. God, we say take the reins of this broadcast. God, do with it what you will. Father, we understand and know that it is no goodness of our own. But Lord, it is you and you alone that has done this great thing. And we're just excited, Father God. God, for you to come in on this morning, God. God, and do what you do best, and that is be God and be big in our life. And so we thank you in advance, oh God. We bless you in advance, oh God. We glorify you in advance, oh God. God, we call your name mighty and great in advance, oh God. God, we take our precious of life today, God. God, and we lay it at your feet today, God. God, we say work on us today, God. God, we used to sing a song back in the old church, back in the old day, and we used to say, Lord, work on me. Lord, today, work on us today, God. Work on our hearts. Work on our minds. Work on our spirits. God, work on that man or that woman of God that is listening in right now. God, that needs that shift, that needs that transition, that needs that change, that needs that push, that needs that drive, that needs that encouragement, that needs that word on today. God, let this broadcast, God, be the word, God, that will speak life to them, God, and give them the ability to continue in the fight. God, I know, God, that it's hard. I know that the journey is not easy. I know that the road is rough. I know that the tears are more frequent than praise. I know that the heartache is more frequent than joy. I know that the sorrows are more than the joyful times, God. But I understand also, God, God, that you are a worker of God. You can work that thing out. I know that you are a deliverer. I know you are a mind regulator. I know you are a heart fixer. I know you can speak life in a dead situation. God, I know you can call those things that be not as though they were. I know that you can put a pole on the enemy, God. God, I know you can silence them. I know you can make them have a misstep. God, I know you can make them stumble. I know you can make them give in and give out. God, I know, God, that you can make the enemy behave. I know, God. So I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I call on your mighty name, God. God, work the word today, God. God, through the messenger and through the message, God. God, to see them through their mess, God. God, because I know, God, that you are able, Father, to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think. So we trust you, oh God. God, in this horrific season, God. God, in this time of turmoil and pain, God, we trust you because we understand trusting in you, my God. Trusting in you, God. God, you will guide our pathway. So we thank you, oh God, for not just being God, but being more than God to us. God, we thank you for being everything that we need, every place that we stumble, every place that we fall, every place that we have issues, every place, Lord God, that the enemy wants to use as a weapon against our life. God, we want to say thank you. Because it is in you we live. Father, it's in you we breathe. So we trust you today, God. God, to do what you do best, and that is be God and be big in our life. So we lean our minds and our hearts to you today. Oh, God, do it only like you know how. Show up, Father, only like you know how. God, and for that, God, we know that we shall have the victory. At the end of this, we shall be victorious. Cannot be otherwise. It cannot be otherwise. With you at the helm, it cannot be otherwise. With you being in charge, Father, it cannot be otherwise. What you doing it, God, it cannot be otherwise. With you showing up on the scene, it cannot be otherwise. So we say thank you in advance, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. We want to share our morning scripture with you on this morning. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. We want to share our morning scripture with you. I'm trying to let this thing go, but I feel the shift in atmosphere. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You will find our morning scripture this morning. You will find it in 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter and the 10th verse. And it says, for godly Saul worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. We'll read that again. For godly Saul worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh. I could preach that all day long, but I'm going to leave that alone. 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 We want to make sure that we acknowledge all of those great countries that are listening in. And as always, we want to say thank you for your continued support of connecting with us and being a part of the Worldwide Gospel Connection, and just continuing to know that we are praying for you. We are interceding for you. We are praying with you. We understand that the assignment that has been placed on your life is great. Here's my soapbox moment. Y'all know I take a quick little soapbox moment every Monday. I want to share this gospel with the world and let the world know that, yes, that we are those that have been called to work the work of him that has sent us while it is day, for when night come and no man can work. We work those work, but we also are called to intercede. We also are called to set the captive free. We also are called to set the light in dark places. And sometimes with that assignment, it comes at a cost. Salvation is free. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pay for salvation. But watch what you have to do. You have to go through the test and the trials. That are accumulated with God help me with your confession, if I could. So there are those that are under the sound of my voice right now in those rural countries that are listening in. Watch this here. If they're caught with a scripture, not a Bible, a scripture, the word of God wrote on a piece of paper, maybe, and I know this is sacrilege to some of y'all, but sometimes they've torn their favorite scripture out of the Bible, and they rolled it up and they put it in their shoe, or they take it and they tuck it inside their belt, or they take it and they tuck it in one of their pockets, and that scripture, that's what they stand on. They're caught with this scripture. Watch this here. There are some of them are drugged in the street and they're made examples out of. They're stoned in the street. Sometimes they're beaten in the street. Sometimes they're taken and sold into slavery. They're sold into work camps. The husbands and the wives are separated. The wives are sold into servitude. The sons and the daughters are sold into servitude. The husbands are sold into work camps. And they never see each other again simply because they have a desire to be in the presence of God and to know God in the firmament of his power. Watch this here. They are taken and some of them are executed. And here we are with the freedom to listen to our favorite gospel artist, read our favorite scripture, pray over our food in front of our coworkers and without fear that we're going to be ostracized by our actions. And here they are. They have to hide just to read the scriptures. There are some that are huddled around right now listening to the broadcast at the sake of their own lives being taken, but because they want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all forgive me. Because they want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they take that chance weekly and listen to this broadcast. We want to encourage you today. We want to speak life over you today. We want to say to you that your labor is not in vain. And we want to say to you that we are interceding and we are praying for you. We are praying for you. And the crazy part about it is people of God will pray for their taskmasters. That salvation is found with them. I know that it's crazy, but the scripture tells us this. He says for us to pray for our enemies. So we're interceding for the ones who have rule over them. We're interceding for them that have authority over them. We're interceding that their hearts are turned, their minds are turned. They find Christ for themselves. They find Jesus Christ for themselves. Not Christianity, relationship. We pray that they find relationship with Jesus Christ. Because our religion is what got us in this predicament in the first place. Religion has destroyed countries. The religion has destroyed families. Religion has destroyed friendships. Religion. But relationship is what binds us together. So our prayer today is that the relationship is fortified with Jesus Christ for them. So today in your prayer time, I invite you to lift up the ones that are on this worldwide gospel connections list of countries that are listening in. Watch this here. Let me help you. You may not remember every name of the countries that we call up, but just say, Lord, bless the ones that are listening in at the worldwide gospel connection. Bless them and keep them safe. That's a real quick and easy prayer. You could take 5 seconds to do that. But do it with your whole heart when you do it. Amen? Amen. So let us share. That's my soapbox one. Let us share in those names on this morning. And again, we thank you so much for your support and know that we are interceding and we are praying with you and we're praying for you. We have the United States, we have Canada. We have Brazil, we have Ghana, we have Guyana, we have Nigeria, we have Kenya, we have Zimbabwe, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, we have Saudi Arabia, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Germany, we have Bulgaria, we have Russia, we have Mexico, we have United Kingdom, we have Paris, France, we have Japan, we have South Korea, we have Ireland, we have India, we have Portugal, we have the Netherlands, we have Italy, we have Thailand, we have Romania, and we have Hungary. And we want to tell you guys again, thank you so much. And we are continuing to pray for you. Know that your labor of love is not in vain. Know that your labor of love is not in vain. Amen? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, we're going to go ahead on and we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And you guys remember that number to call in. It's 563-999-3628. You guys can press the 1. And when you press 1, what that will do is that will give you an opportunity to speak and say what you need to say here on the broadcast on this morning. But we want to take this quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You guys are listening to the Worldwide Gospel Connection.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you. from a simple topic, and my topic is kingdom relationships. Again, my topic is kingdom relationships. As I consider this text screams to me kingdom themes, you know, in our society that everybody wants to be booed up. Whether it be Match.com, eHarmony.com, ChristianMingle.com, BlackPeopleMeet.com, or any of the other similar 7,500 websites that are out there regarding online dating, people want to be booed up. I actually, when you look at online dating is a $1.9 billion industry in the U.S., just simply the U.S. alone. But because we're on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, I understand that this goes global. So it's $1.9 billion in the U.S., but it's $11.6 billion in Australia. It's an industry that's $11.6 billion a year in Australia. And in the U.K., one in five relationships begin online. All of this team in need of relationships. Relationships are important. So I'm going to take a few moments and I'm going to look at relationships from two perspectives. I'm going to look at it from an ecclesiastical perspective, the church, and then I'm going to look at it from a sociological perspective, and then we're going to platform into a different direction. And so when you look at relationships from an ecclesiastical perspective, as the church, we are called out. We are the ecclesia, ek meaning out, in ecclesia from kaleo, meaning the call. So we are the called out, and we are called out with the power of Christ, and that calling is to lead people into a relationship with Christ, evangelism, and then counsel them to deepen that relationship with Christ. That's discipleship. So when you look at evangelism and discipleship, evangelism and discipleship revolves around relationships. It revolves around initiating that relationship, evangelism, and then it revolves around deepening that relationship with Christ, is discipleship. So the ecclesia, the church, from an ecclesia, from a church perspective, we are called to relationships. But from a sociological perspective, relationships are a part of our sociological DNA. Abraham Maslow helps us understand this, letting us know that once we get our physiological and safety needs in order, that we have a desire, a need, not just a desire, a need for belonging and love. While this doesn't always have to end up in a romantic relationship, it often does. And so from a male perspective, since we're talking in Man Up Monday, from a male perspective, Abraham Maslow helps us understand that once we get our physiological needs together, once we got a couple dollars in our pocket and we're able to make sure we feed ourselves and we got the necessities of life, then we get our safety needs. We get a nice place to stay. We got a place that's safe, that we can stay and not have to worry about what's going on in our environment. Then the very next thing Abraham Maslow helps us understand is that there's a desire for us to get booed up. There's a desire, a sociological desire for us to then start relationships. And from a male perspective, you understand that. You get your money right, you get your place right, and then all of a sudden you want to get into a relationship. But what I've come to learn is that the sociological need for relationships often fights against the ecclesiastical the church's call, because I've come to find out that when a person gives their life to Christ, it's the relationships that they have before their life in Christ that tends to hinder them from moving into a deeper relationship with Christ. You know, I've seen being around the church for two decades or so, I've come to learn And I've come to watch people give their life to Christ and responding to the altar call. And I've always seen the anomaly where, you know, two people who are in a relationship, not a marital relationship, they're dating or whatever, when they come to the altar together, I find that very few times they stick. Because a life with Christ is a call, it's an individual call to a corporate community. Again, it's an individual call to a corporate community. I find it very few times that God is actually calling two people in a dating relationship together to come to Christ at the same time. I know it's possible. I just find it very few times. And I found that that dating relationship causes people to live a life sort of in and out of the kingdom. They dip their toe in, but because they have this relationship that isn't necessarily a godly one, that relationship pulls them out of the kingdom. And that's because there's a correlation between an environment. There's a correlation between relationship and environment. You can't be in a new environment, the church. You can't be in a new environment and keep the same relationship. Let me give you an example. When you go to college, and I actually went to college in the University of Pittsburgh, and in the university, I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania as well. And so I went to a college that's local to the city in which I was born and reared in. And I came to understand that if I'm going to have a successful college, if I'm going to successfully matriculate through college, I had to develop new relationships. The relationship from my old neighborhood, the relationship from the city I grew up in, I couldn't continue to foster those relationships above the relationships at the University of Pittsburgh, because I'm in a new environment, and if I'm going to stay in that environment, I have to build the relationships in that new environment. And there were always people I saw in the University of Pittsburgh that were from Pittsburgh as well, and they highlighted the relationships from their old neighborhood, and many of them didn't graduate because if you don't build new relationships, you can't stay in the new environment. It's just impossible because relationships, there's a correlation with relationships and environment. If you don't build new relationships in the environment you're in, you're not going to be in that environment too much longer. We understand this when people move from city to city. They say, I want to get out of where I am. I want to start my life new. I want to get rid of these low-life relationships that I have or these unproductive relationships that I have. So they'll move from one city, and then they'll move to another city. And I found that if you can move from a city to a city, but if you don't develop new productive relationships, you'll find yourself in the same types of environment that you were in your previous city. If you don't develop relationships that are productive in the new city, you'll find yourself in unproductive relationships in the new city, because there's a correlation between relationships and environment. And so you may ask, so where you're going with this, Pastor? Well, I'm going to a place to help you understand that if you're in the kingdom, the kingdom requires new relationships. I said all that to say that the kingdom requires new relationships, because when you're in the kingdom, you find yourself in a new environment. That new environment is a spiritual environment. When it comes to explaining the kingdom is a text phrase that many people use in the body of Christ. But in teaching and helping people understand the kingdom, I like to combine two theological perspectives. One is from George Ladd and his theological perspective of the kingdom as inaugurated eschatology. And then I like to merge it with a local scholar here in Houston, Dr. Dana Carson, and his kingdom in the now theology to help people understand what the kingdom is. The kingdom, the ultimate manifestation of the kingdom, belongs to the future. Let me repeat that. the ultimate manifestation of the kingdom belongs to the future. It's what we have, if you come up in the church, traditionally called heaven. I don't want to get into the technical aspects, but actually the kingdom isn't really heaven like we know it, because if you look in the book of Revelation, you see there's a new heaven and a new earth, which talks about the kingdom, but I'm not going to get into it. But we understand when we think of the kingdom as heaven, we understand that the kingdom or heaven is a place where God rules, God dominates, God is completely in control. It's the kingdom, the king's dominion, the king's domain, where things go like God wants them to go. And so we understand from a eschatological perspective that the kingdom is a future manifestation, and God completely rules, God dominates. He dominates over at least three things that I'm going to highlight today. He dominates over sin, he dominates over sickness, and he dominates over Satan. So we understand that in the future, when we actually enter the kingdom in its full manifestation, we don't have to worry about sin. Sin no longer reigns in our mortal body. Why? Because God dominates, God rules, and sin is not going to be in his presence. We understand that sickness doesn't happen, or sickness doesn't exist in this full manifestation of the kingdom. Why? Because God rules, God dominates, and sickness doesn't happen in the presence of God. So we understand that Satan, we look in the book of Revelation, that Satan is bound, and he's thrown into the lake of fire ultimately. Why? Because Satan's presence isn't in the full manifestation of the kingdom. So when we understand the kingdom of God from an eschatological or futuristic or end time perspective, we understand that the kingdom of God is a place where God dominates. God dominates sin, God dominates over sickness, and God dominates over Satan. Now, however, when you look at the kingdom strictly from a futuristic, then you have a hope for a destination. It gives you hope, but it doesn't give you power. And the kingdom of God is not in word and deed, to quote Paul. It's not in word and deed, but it's in power. And so a futuristic kingdom gives you hope, but it doesn't give you power. But Christ came to proclaim in Matthew 4:17, and he echoed exactly what John the Baptizer said in Matthew 3, he came to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which lets us know that the kingdom of heaven, while its ultimate manifestation is a futuristic manifestation, the kingdom of heaven is in the here and in the now. It's able to be experienced in the now. It's able to be experienced right now. I don't have to wait to get to a futuristic place to enter the kingdom. No, I can enter the kingdom right now. Jesus let us know that the kingdom of heaven is now. So what he's proclaiming is we don't have to wait for a future victory. We have a measure of that victory right now, which lets us know that the kingdom can be experienced in the now. So how can the kingdom be experienced? Well, the king's dominion over sin can be experienced when there's salvation. When there's salvation, my heart turns from a sin nature filled with the sin nature, and now it's translated to a son of God. That's a miracle. So when a miraculous thing happens, it's the kingdom of God manifesting and overturning the sin in this world. And when God overturns the sin in this world, that's a manifestation of the kingdom. So sin is overturned in salvation. That's a miracle. That's a manifestation of the kingdom. When sickness is overturned and I'm healed supernaturally, that's a miracle. That's a manifestation of the kingdom of God. When Satan is and he's bound, and he's no longer able to steal, kill, and destroy in your life and in the lives of those who you're praying for, that is a manifestation of the kingdom. So the kingdom is accessible right now. Now, it's not in its fullness because Satan is going to come back and sin is going to, is not going to be annihilated. And sickness may come back. And so it's not a full manifestation. That again belongs to the future. But God can give us those miracles in the now. And those miracles are a manifestation of the futuristic kingdom in the now. So I said all that to say, when you enter into the kingdom, you enter into a new environment. God has given us access to the power of the futuristic kingdom. Thus, when we ask the question, if we ask the question, when I die, am I going to heaven? We're really asking the wrong question. The question we should be asking is, am I in the kingdom right now? Because when I die, there's not a pearly gate. I hate to bust bubbles, but there's not a pearly gate in which I then figure out if I have access into this futuristic kingdom. That doesn't happen. If I'm in the kingdom now, if I'm in the kingdom on this side, when I die, I no longer have the constrictions of my body, but I never left the kingdom. So I go from the kingdom of God in the now, and I moved to the kingdom of God in the future. I stayed in the kingdom. I just lost my corporal body. So when I look at the kingdom of God, I got to understand if I'm in the kingdom now, then I have assurance that when I pass, and I pass from death to life, that I stay in the kingdom. But if I'm not in the kingdom now, when I pass from death to life, there is no entrance for me to get into the kingdom. So if I die on this side outside of the kingdom, I lift up my eyes in hell. But if I die on this side in kingdom, I stay in the kingdom. I just do it in a different way. I don't have this body and this limitation. So when we think about our eternal destination, shouldn't be much of a mystery, because our eternal destination is tied to our current situation. Am I in the kingdom now? If I'm in the kingdom now, then I have assurance that when I die, I stay in the kingdom. If I'm not in the kingdom now, then I have to understand, I got to figure out how do I get into this kingdom so that I can benefit from dominion over sin, over sickness, over Satan. So the kingdom of God has to be experienced now. And that kingdom, to be in that kingdom is an environment, and that environment requires relationship. So if I'm in the kingdom now, I have developed and I have built the relationship in the kingdom so that I can stay in the kingdom. If I say I'm in the kingdom and I don't have the relationships that are commensurate with kingdom, then I will find myself no longer in the kingdom. I'll find myself in the world. So to be in the kingdom is about the relationships that I've built that are kingdom. The interest in life in the kingdom is less about your what you do, and it's less about your ability to conform, more about the relationship in which you have built. It's not about what you do, it's about who you know. You have to have the relationships that are commensurate with the kingdom, and it's not about the rules that you keep, that keep you in the kingdom. Now, I hear some of my sanctified, filled with the mighty burning fire, religious antagonists say, now, I thought you said that the kingdom is about the king's dominion, the king's domain. Are you saying you can enter the domination of God and not be required to live right, not be required to follow the rules? It sounds like now you're saying that you could have a relationship with God without obedience to God. And I hear these religious antagonists saying, well, that's not how I interpret the kingdom. You know, it's about rules. It's just there's things in my life that I set up because, or that are set up because I'm kingdom. So I come to church when I can. I give offerings when I can. I treat people right when I can. I do things, and that's what validates my kingdom experience or my kingdom environment. I hear what you're saying, but if you stick with me, let's look at this a little bit more, and let me clarify what I'm saying a little bit more. Our text today finds us is actually in the context of the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost is the birth of the New Testament church. It's the birthing of the organization that's meant to bring people into relationship with Christ. And we find Peter not preaching to Gentiles in our text, but he's preaching primarily to Jews in the context. See, the Jews have gathered together for the middle journey, the middle week, the Feast of Pentecost, which as a standalone feast, and they gathered together for it. And so he's speaking to a Jewish audience and not a Gentile audience. And that's important. And to, just to, you know, solidify, you know, he starts his message in verse 14. He starts with men of Judah. He's letting you know, I'm letting you know I'm talking to people who dwell in Jerusalem. I'm talking to Judeans. I'm talking to the Jews. He continues in his message in verse 22 in chapter 2. Men of Israel, letting you know I'm talking to Jews. And then he argues in his message in verse 25 through 35. He argues from a Davidic promise perspective. So he's arguing in Jewish script. So he's not have this conversation. And this text is not in a context of a Gentile context. It's in context of a Jewish context. And that's very important. And we'll understand why in just a minute. So the religious folks that thought they were right with God, Peter preaches and lets them know that their religiosity has failed them, and now they have failed to recognize Christ as King. Thus, in the midst of keeping rules, they've missed a relationship. So he's arguing to be rule keepers of all rule keepers. I venture a guess that there are very few Gentile believers today that were so guarded about their faith that kept the law and kept the rules in the way that the Jewish people of this time did. And he says, even in your rule keeping, you've missed Christ. And that echoes what Paul says in chapter 10 of Romans. He says, beloved, I wish that Israel be saved. Why? Because they have a zeal for God, but their zeal is in their heart, that word, zealous. They're hot for God, but they seek to establish their own righteousness, not submitting to the righteousness of God. Which lets you know that they have an ability to follow the rules, but their rules don't make them righteous. And so now Peter is telling these Jewish believers, you missed it. You missed relationship because you let rules get in the midst of relationship. And now if I had time to talk about Peter, Peter understands this uniquely and even intimately. Because just 6 weeks before, Peter denied Christ three times. So he knew it wasn't his ability to keep the rules that restored his relationship with Christ. It was the relationship with Christ that restored his relationship with Christ. It was Christ going to Peter and say, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. It was a relationship that Peter, it was Peter understanding that it wasn't my ability to keep the rules, because if I want to just be honest about it, there are times, and many more times than I care to admit, where I don't keep the rules. And do I really want my entry into the kingdom based on what I do? Because if I won't my entry to the kingdom based on what I do. If I just take an honest look back over my life, I realize that I've done some things that aren't kingdom ready, aren't kingdom worthy. And so if I want to get in with rules, then I've already disqualified myself. I've already done some things that are disqualifying to a kingdom walk. But it's the relationship that I've formed that allows me to have the expectation of the kingdom of God. And so when I look at this particular text, Acts 2 and 42, we see then that entering a kingdom environment, there has to be three relationships that are formed. Because if I can form these relationships, I can stay in the kingdom. And if I can stay in the kingdom, then I can experience the eschatological, the futuristic blessings that come therewith. And so in Acts 2:42, we see that the first relationship, it says, they gave heed to the apostles' doctrine. The first relationship you got to form to be in the kingdom is a relationship with a leader. You got to have a relationship with a leader. Everyone in the kingdom has to report to somebody. God is a company man. If I don't report to someone who works at Amazon, then guess what? I don't work at Amazon. If I don't report to someone who works at Walmart or works at HP or works at whatever company that is, then I don't work for that company. The same in the church. If you don't report to somebody, if you don't have a fivefold apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher who you ultimately report to, then you're not in the church. And if you're not in the church, then you're not saved. The Bible says that Jesus isn't coming back for the individual. Jesus is coming back for his church, a corporate body. God is a company man. There's a damnable doctrine that's out there where people are concluding that I am the church. I am, as an individual, the church. And that is so far removed from sound biblical hermeneutics and exegesis. You are not the church. In fact, you are not the church. We are the church. The church is a corporate body. The church is, there is no individual that is the church. The church is a corporate body. Israel, you could be in the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but you were not Israel unless you were Israel as a corporate body, not Israel as an individual. The church is a corporate body, not an individual body, an individual person. So let me argue from Scripture just a little bit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 28 that he placed these in the church, first apostles, prophets, and then teachers. So are you the individual? Are you an apostle, a prophet? And a teacher? Is that who you are, individual? That's of course not. Because the church is a corporate body. The church is not an individual. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 3 and 15, it says in the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Are you, the individual, the pillar and ground of truth? You live a life that you can characterize yourself as the pillar and the ground of truth? Of course not, because the individual is not the church. Corporate is the church. And if the corporate is the church, every strong corporate gathering has to have structure. And that structure means that somebody, there has to be somebody you report to. Time out, men of God, for maverick Christianity. Time out for individualism. And I know individualism is the way of the world, and it's certainly the way of America, but individualism is not the faith you walked into. Our faith is a corporate faith. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about us. There has to be a us. And if you're not part of an us, then we have a problem. If you're not part of us, then you're not part of the kingdom environment. You're not part of the church. And if you're not part of the kingdom environment and part of the church, when you die, you stay not a part of the kingdom environment. And so, and you don't want to be there. So you have to have a relationship with a leader. And it says they gave heed to the apostles' doctrine. And that, so that relationship with the leader is not a familial relationship. It's not a familiar relationship. That relationship with the leader is a relationship based on their teaching, their didache, their doctrine. What see the relationship we have with our pastors, and in the black church, pastors have had to be a lot to our society. They've been typically in centuries and decades past, your pastor was typically one of the more educated people in the black community. So a lot of social things have been heaped on the role of the pastor, whether it be social justice, whether it be advocating for this and advocating for that. And I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but the relationship, the primary relationship you should have with your leader is a relationship of doctrine. What's he teaching you? Theologically, how is he helping you understand the word of God? Not just how is he encouraging you and so that you can go forth more on a Monday through Saturday. No, what is his doctrine? What is his didache? How is he helping you understand the scriptures? Why? Because God has given shepherds after his own heart to feed you with knowledge and understanding. It's the knowledge and understanding of the scriptures that you need your pastor for. You've got to have a pastor. And so they gave heed to the apostles' doctrine, which means they started a relationship with a leader. Now, here is where right living comes in. Here is where living right comes in. Because your pastor, your leader, then interprets the word of God for you and says, now, here's the demands and the requirements of God. Here's what God is trying to tell you as the body of Christ to do. Do that. Don't find what right living is. Let your leader help you define what God requires of you. Let me help you understand. So your leader tells you to pass out invitation cards so that people can connect to the church. But you respond, oh, I don't lie no more. There's a disconnect there. So you're trying to self-manage your relationship with God and say, well, hey, here's some things I don't do. I don't lie, I don't feed, I don't steal, and that's all well and good. But there's something called sins of omission and sins of commission. Sins of commission is things I don't do no more. So, you know, you don't lie, great. But what about the things of omission, the things that you're supposed to do that you never do? What about evangelism and discipleship, things that you're supposed to do but you never do? And so when your leader tells you pass on invitation cards, you say, well, I don't lie no more. Well, that's a disconnect. When he teaches you to pray and witness to the law, and you say, well, I've never stepped out on my wife, that's a disconnect. You're trying to self-manage a relationship with God on rules you've already mastered and not rules that you need to master. And then when he challenges you to give, you say, well, at least I don't club no more. Well, we're disconnecting what it means to have a relationship with God. So you got to have a pastor. You got to have someone that feeds you with knowledge and understanding. You got to have a leader in the kingdom. And if you do not have a pastor, I will flat foot and let you know you're not in the kingdom or you won't be in the kingdom for long. There's only two options. If you don't have a pastor, you're not in the kingdom, or you won't be in the kingdom for long. Next relationship you got to have, and certainly you can call in and ask any questions. I'm more than welcome to answer any questions that you have. I know some people may find that a hard pill to swallow, but if you're bouncing around from church to church to church to church to church to church, and you don't have a pastor, you're not in the kingdom, or you won't be for long. And that's just a fact. God is a company man, and he's coming back for a church. And if you're not connected to him, he's not coming back for you. Next thing is a relationship with laity. It says through fellowship and the breaking of bread, you have to have not only a relationship with the leader, you have to have a relationship with other believers. Fellowship with other believers. You have to connect and join in with other believers. That word fellowship, or that word fellowship, koinonia, when we did our English word coin, modicum of exchange, something you have in common. And so when, what do you have in common with other believers? It's time out to value relationships with the world over relationships with other believers. You know, saints are talking about, you know, I don't like church people because church people are this, that, and the other. But you like unchurched people better than you like church people, which lets you know that you have more in common with an unchurched than you do have with a church person, which lets you know what environment you're in. You know, because of the relationships that you prioritize, lets you know what environment you're in. And you can't say, I enjoy the environment of the unbeliever, but then I want the eternal destination of the believer. You have to have, and we all have to have, relationship with other believers. Fellowship should be around what we have in common. I have in common something with another believer. I have a common vision. I have a common relationship with the King. It's only other believers that can identify what it, or identify with me what it means to walk out my faith. It's the strength I get when other believers give me their testimony that gives me the strength to continue to go on and go through what God has called me and told me to go through. It's the strength of the community where I go, when I go through tough times, it's that strength of the community of people reaching out to me and ministering to me and talking with me and identifying with me and helping me and working with me. It's the strength of the community that gets me through this life. And if I don't have that community, then I'm out here by myself, what I'm going to end up doing is starting to identify with the world. It's the community of the believer that helps us. And you have to build relationships with like-minded believers. If you're not building relationships with your co-worker, I mean with your co-laborers in the faith, then you're not in the environment. You should be building relationships with other people who hear the same leader that you hear and are trying to walk out the faith and the vision that that leader has casted and that leader has given us to be an example. So you have to have, if we're going to be in the kingdom, we have to have relationships with the leader. We have to have relationships with others, with laity. And then lastly, we have to have a relationship with our Lord. The Bible says through prayer, that word prosukamai, or suke, that pro meaning to or toward, suke means to petition. And so prosukamai, prayer means to petition. It has a connotation of moving to and toward God with petition. And so when you're looking at prayer, prayer is not about what I want. It's about what God wants. And because I am CK and I'm pro, I'm moving toward God with his desire. And so I have to have a relationship with God. And that relationship with God comes through prayer. Hearing God, what are your desires for my life now? And then praying back to God the desires that he has for my life. Those are the prayers that he always hears and that he answers. God, what is your desire for my life in this season? What is your desire for my family? What is your desire for my church? What is your desire for my ministry? What are your desires for where I'm supposed to do and go and how I'm supposed to move? Let me know, because once you let me know, I'm going to pray those back to you, and then I'm going to watch you do. Because, God, you give both the will and to do according to your good pleasure. And so you have to develop a relationship with the Lord. Now, here's the rub, though. The relationship with the Lord doesn't work without a relationship, at least. Because the relationship with the Lord, the Bible says, God says that I give you shepherds after my own heart. The Bible says, obey those who have rule over you and be submissive to them, for they watch out over your soul. So I can't pray God's word. I can't pray what God is saying and then overlook my leader. And then secondly, when Jesus was in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, if you look at it, the enemy came and tried to buffet him in many different ways. And one of the ways he tried to buffet him is by using the word of God out of context. And he tried to get Jesus to jump off of the roof of the temple by using the word of God, which was an Old Testament scripture, but he used it out of context. Now, of course, it didn't work because Jesus was able to correct the context and say, no, 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 that's not what that scripture means. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. And so I say that to say a lot of us in the body of Christ are using scripture out of context. And the reason why we're using scripture out of context is because you don't have a relationship with the leader, and that leader was supposed to be the one that gives you the doctrine, the Didache, so that you can understand the scripture in context and believe God in a contextual manner. And so I believe many people are standing on scriptures that are out of context, and they're believing God to do things that he's not going to do because you've taken the scripture out of context. Let me give you an example. The Bible, we talk about it all the time. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, I stand on that scripture. I stand on that scripture. But let's look at the context of that scripture. The context of that scripture is that the people who Paul is talking about were people who sacrificed and gave toward his kingdom-expanding ministry. And because they gave in such miraculous ways, they had a lack in their life because of their giving. And he's saying, because you have this lack because of your giving, the God that you have given into, the God, my God, that you have given into will supply your needs. So if you're not in a context where you have been sowing and you've been sacrificing for God, then you can't stand on that scripture. But many people who don't even tithe and they more than $5 to the church and make six-figure income, and they're standing on a scripture that doesn't apply to them because they're not sacrificing. And then they're wondering why God isn't coming through like he expected them, or he or she expected them to come through. Well, he's doing what he was consistent with his word, but you don't understand his word. And the reason why you don't understand his word is because you don't have a leader, and the leader isn't teaching you doctrine. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody. I know I'm talking to somebody. You have to have a leader. You have to have a relationship with other laity. You have to have a relationship with the Lord through prayer. Adherence to your leader's teaching. Assembling with other laity. And approaching the Lord with prayer. With that, you can have a kingdom relationship, a relationship that affirms your kingdom status, which affirms your ultimate destination. A lot of people are wondering if they're going to heaven or going to hell. And I'm letting you know, you don't have to wonder. Are you in the kingdom now? And if you're in the kingdom now, what relationship have formed that affirms your current environment? With those relationships, if I have a leader, form the relationship with other laity, and I'm intentional about my prayer life, then and only then can I be comfortable in my eternal destination, even when I had slip-ups in my ability to follow the rules, I still have a reliance that I'm still in the kingdom. And should this earthly tabernacle be demolished, He's made me a place, not made of hands. Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that our relationship with you is not based on our ability to be right. Father, for if it were, we'd already be disqualified. You said that in while we were yet, you gave your son, you sacrificed him for us so that we might be the righteousness of God. So in the midst of us doing what violated you, you made a way of escape. So Father, I thank you for the men and women that are hearing this message. And Father, I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that convicts and that's now prodding and inciting people to reconnect with your kingdom embassy, the church, and reconnect with leaders that will teach them sound doctrine, and reconnect with other parishioners that will stand shoulder to shoulder with them and help them walk through this life of sanctification. And God, I thank you once they do that, you'll start to talk to them in ways they've never heard. And they'll start doing things that they've never done before. And they'll start expanding your kingdom in ways that they've only dreamed about. Father, we know you can do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Awesome word, man of God. Awesome, awesome word. Let's pray for the man of God before we go into further. Father, we thank you, Father God, for the messenger on today. God, we pray that you would touch his body, God. We pray that you would touch him and restore back unto him that he has poured out to your people. God, that when an opportunity comes again, God, he is able to pour again. God, we stand against every backlash, every word of deceit, every word of the enemy that tries to come against the man of God. God, we bind that thing right now, God. Every backlash spirit, every demonic word that will try to come near his dwelling, Father God, we stand against that thing right now. God, and we call that the blessings of the Lord shall make it rich and add no sorrow. God, that he shall find peace. God, he will find joy. God, we pray for his family. We pray for his wife. God, we pray for God, everyone that is connected to him. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, put your hedge of protection around them. God, keep them safe in your care. God, dispatch the angels that's assigned to their life. God, and cover them and keep them in the mighty and rich and infallible name of Jesus Christ, we pray. In the body of Christ, say amen. Amen and amen. Great word, man of God. Great, great word, man of God. As I was sitting there listening, that's one of my mottos. I tell people all the time, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. In this life, you are afforded a few opportunities to have really good relationships. You know, there's an old saying that goes, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. We have relationships in our lives that we treat better than we treat the relationship that we have with God. We have a relationship, man, that'll preach by all by itself. Sometimes, Doc, we'll have relationship with folk better than we have with the Lord, the one that woke us up this morning, the one that closed us in our right mind, the one that gave us the activity of our lives, the one that healed us, the one that delivered us, the one that set us free. we got to build a relationship with that individual person. Watch this here. I'm going to make some folks mad. We got a better relationship with the person that we lay in the bed with than we got with God. We'll say good morning to them, but we won't fall. We're going to roll over in that same with that same morning breath and tell Lord, thank you. But the worst thing about that is, Doc, is this. Watch this here. The worst thing about that is that we've become so accustomed to it, and we don't realize that relationship is what connects us not just in the body of Christ, but it connects us to Jesus Christ. And so when we don't realize that we make those mistakes and those missteps and think that we're in a good place, and in actuality, we need to reposition ourselves so we can get in right standing with God. I used to hear this all the time, and this is the one that used to get me when I was growing up in the church. God knows my heart. And what gets me is the crazy part about it is it's true that God knows your heart. That's the reason why you're dealing with what you're dealing with now, because God knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart should be turned toward Him. He said that he desires a contrite spirit and a broken heart. People, when we read that scripture and we try to analyze that scripture, we think that God wants us running around with tears in our eyes and crying and always hurting, always in pain, and always got this woe was me thing. But that's not what He's talking about. In other words, He's saying that are you apt to pray? Can a condition come in your life that will move you emotionally? But watch this here. But it will cause you to fall on your face and pray. Can life woes and sorrows come, and you can still have a relationship with me that it'll be to the point to where I'm not going to blame you for this one, God, but I'm going to trust you in this one, God. You helped us today with this message, Doc. I just want to let you know, because what you did was you opened up a door to people to run. Watch yourself. And this is to help some folks. This is to help some folks. And I was sitting here the whole time that you were talking, and I was trying to figure out, God, why are you sending me here? Because this is a very strange scripture. Y'all remember the story? It's in all three of the Gospels. It's about the rich man and Lazarus. Y'all know that scripture. It talks about how the rich man, that Jesus was giving a parable about the rich man and Lazarus, and he said that the Lazarus lay at the gate of the city of the rich man, and there was dogs that came, and they were licking his wounds, and he said in that same day, Lazarus was begging at the gate. He asked the man for bread, and the man said no, and when the man went in the gate, he said in that same hour, Lazarus and the rich man both died. And he said the rich man lifted his eyes up in hell, and he saw Lazarus in the arms of Abraham. And he said, Father Abraham, he said, allow Lazarus to dip his finger in the pool that separates us to cool my scorching tongue. Now watch this here. Y'all trying to figure out where I'm going. Y'all hold on for a second. It was not the story of where the rich man went and Lazarus went. It was a story of you having a right relationship with God. It was to highlight the picture of the rich man to let you know that what type of relationship you have with me. Because if you love me, you'll love the God, help me right through here. You'll love the ones that got issues. You'll love the ones that got problems. You'll love the ones that got all kinds of things going on with them. You'll see them like I see them, and you'll want to be able to go out and reach your hand out and help them, because watch this here. It is the relationship that I have with you. And watch this, that I put my hand in the muck and mire crate, and I brought you out of the condition that you were in. I've seen you through some, watch this, I've seen you through some of your own mistakes. preaching. You preaching today. I've seen you through heartache and pain, and I've seen you get delivered. I've seen you through your walk. I've seen you through your hurt. I've seen you through the thing. Watch this here. That you thought was going to kill you, but I knew it was going to make you better. Watch this here. The relationship. That's where it all starts. The relationship.
Right.
Relationship requires talk, understanding, compassion, hearing one another, loving that person until they get in line. Loving that person even though you said something earlier on when you were talking, you talked about how they go to the altar together, but they don't get the same, I don't want to misquote it, but you say how they go to the altar together, but when they go to the altar together, they don't wind up at the same place because of the simple fact of where they started out right, but somewhere in between they're starting out right and they're going on this thing together, they miss something. Can I tell you what they missed? They missed the importance of the fact that I'm not where I need to be. But watch this here. I'm striving to get there. And in this relationship, we have to learn how to do this thing together. We may not derive that together. I'm gonna borrow the words of Martin Luther King for a minute. He said, "We may not get to the mountaintop together." But we're going to get there. So we got to understand, we may not make it and arrive to that place at the same time. Sometimes we have to separate away from each other until that individual person grows to our level. We can love them. We can care about them. But we can't let them be in that place with us because they're not prepared. They're not ready for it.
When you give your life to Christ, you have to really say it. You know, a lot of the secular relationships that you have, any relationship
right.
that you have that has a tighter hold on you than you have on Christ, and you mentioned it, then that relationship, you got to redefine it or get rid of it, you know. Because it's now about my relationship with God, and you can't be in a romantic relationship, especially outside of a marital context. Inside of a marital context,
mm-hmm.
you've already made that covenant. That's something else. But outside of a marital context, then you should understand that whatever is not married to you and whatever seed that comes through your line, then they're on the chopping block. You know, my relationship with Christ will probably get rid of them in my life. I hate to sound cold about it, but the Bible, Jesus says, you know, if you don't love me more than your mother, your father, and your children, then you're not worthy of me. You know, and I'm not saying to abdicate your responsibilities, but I am saying in a relationship, God is not going to come in second. You know,
right.
And so once you have a relationship with God, he's like, I'm primary, or I'm not at all. You know, if you don't want me to be primary, then you don't want me at all. And so you got to.
Now, watch this.
You know, and
you are on point, Doc. Now, watch this here. Let's go on. This man talk. This man of money. Watch this here. This is why sex before marriage. Sometimes it's a hindrance. No, I'm not. I'm I'm not advocating that it's okay, but we mean it. I know that some of us have done it. You know, I mean, Lord, I get in trouble all the time, so I'm good. I'm straight. Watch this. I'm in the water. I'm already neck deep when I first said this, so, hey, it is what it is. This is the reason why it's important for you not to be have relationships before you get married. Because what you do is you open up a door for all the other people that they done been with. Watch this. Let me help you real quick. Spirits are transferred. And every time you lay with a woman, whoever she has been in a relationship with sexually, intimately, that was an intimate exchange of fluids, whether by kissing or by you being romantic with them, you know. That was a connection that was made through a fluid transfer. And in that fluid transfer, what has happened is, my brothers and my sisters, those of you that are listening, you have become partakers of whatever life that was passed on into that woman or into that man. Watch this here. And you're trying to figure out why you're struggling in areas is because of the simple fact that you got an illegal deposit. This is the reason why it's so important that you crucify the flesh daily, because see that sin that is inside of us, that place that's inside of us, that moment that was inside of us, we have to make sure, watch this here, we have to make sure that we talk to God and have that relationship in God, not with God, in God, that He comes in and He works on us. He strengthens us. He's encouraging us. He empowers us. He graces us with a ability to stand in Him, but we need to have a relationship with Him in order for that to take place. Watch this shit. Don't die in a relationship that you never was supposed to be a part of. That's good right there. That'll preach. That'll preach. Don't die in a place unnecessarily. That's a means to the end for that, Doc. And it's called cutting the tie. Cut the ties and move on. I helped about 5,000 of y'all with that one. Cut your ties. Cut your losses. This is how the world say, cut your losses and going on leave. Because that your way out, is better for you to do it that way. Amen? Amen. Listen, man of God. I wanna allot you some time. Did you have anything else you wanna share?
You know, I think you're on the right the train of thought. Apostle, you know, when it comes to, since we're going to talk to men, you know, there are really, you know, two relational pieces, you know, that I just feel that we need to, you know, highlight. You know, one is what you said, you know, about the premarital sex. You know, I've learned enough, you know, that premarital sex blinds you. And let me just let me help you with that. Once you're married, the premarital sex, you'll find some things about your wife that you missed because you were blind. But if you never tampered with it, you'll be objective and say, well, no, I don't like this in you. You know, or I don't like that in you. I'm not going to get married. But premarital sex blinds you to who they are. And if you don't believe me, and you probably don't, wait till you get married. And then you go, oh,
yeah,
this issue was always there, but sex blinded me to it. And for the women that are on, and I say this often, I've seen very few women get their heart broken regarding men they never slept with. Just haven't seen it too often. And so if you want to keep your heart, you know, keep yourself. But that's a relationship. That's a peer-to-peer relationship. And then I'm going to let it go. One thing about men is we don't want to submit to leadership. That was part of the relationship that you need, and that's a relationship with a pastor. A lot of times we don't want to submit to leadership, but our submission to leadership models the way a wife is supposed to submit to their husband. And so because they're supposed to submit to us like as unto Christ. And so you're not modeling submission to your pastor, but you demand submission from a woman, then there's a problem there. Because you're not supposed to follow you as you follow Christ. And you're supposed to be following Christ as the man of God is following Christ. So we have to, as men, we have to get over what oftentimes boils down to daddy issues. We got to get over our daddy issues, and we have to submit to leadership. And I understand in an African-American context, at least, you know, we have absentee fathers, and I understand that's an issue, but we have to work that out because you're not in the kingdom if you don't submit to a leader. And
right.
So your issue, submission is keeping you out of a relationship with God. And we have to just say that. But I'm gonna get off of that. I'm going to get off of that, Apostle.
this is the man of Monday, man. This is our man cave moment. I tell people this all the time, man. I love this because it's an outlet for us as men to share. Sometimes, man, we're on, and just to be honest with you, man, we have to deal with the sensitive subjects as men. Because if we don't deal with the sensitive, I say that to say this. We have to deal with the sensitive subjects of men, because if we don't deal with the sensitive subjects of men, we'll have a lot of men that are bleeding out, God help me.
Yep.
We'll have a lot of men that is bleeding out, brother. Just going to be honest with you. We'll have a lot of men that bleed out simply because we don't have the conversations. We only have the candidates, as I like to call them. We don't have the candid conversations that we need. Because watch this here. You can be sitting across from that brother, and I'm a testament to it, and I'm pretty sure you're a testament to it, and other man that's under the sound of my voice is a testament to it, that we can be sitting in the presence of brothers. We can be sitting in the presence of others with a hamburger smile on our face. And just as much pain, and just as much anguish, and just as much frustration, and we're laughing and eating and enjoying each other and enjoying the time. And watch this here. We'll go home, and we'll sit, and we'll wax silent and won't say a word. Won't say two words. Wax silent. Done. I tap out. Go to work. Interact with everybody at work. Do your job. Every portion of your job you do. Without a hindrance or issue. Come back home. Wax silent. Got to have the candid conversations. Because we need an outlet as men to release. No shade against our women. We love our women. Love our women with everything. If we didn't love them, we wouldn't still be there. Can I be honest with you? there are some men that just checked out mentally, emotionally, and physically. And they just couldn't take it no more. And they just walked away. It was easier for them to walk away from it than to stay in it, because if they stayed there, they'll be behind somebody's balls. Somebody be putting money on their books. Their kids will be coming to visit them behind bars. So they would rather check out, leave the scene, and let God figure it out later. Wow. Okay. That helped somebody. I felt that in my spirit. That helped somebody. Listen, we're gonna go ahead on it. We're gonna end the show a little bit different. We're going to intercede for those men, because I feel this so heavy on us. We may run out of time, but I might just have to end the broadcast. It is what it is. Pastor, if you would, let's touch and agree, and let us pray for the brother that's struggling in his physical relationship and in his spiritual walk with God. Let us touch and agree in prayer. Let us talk to the Father together. Let us talk to the Father together. If you don't mind, just touch and agree with me as we pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for those that are under the sound of our voice on today. God, we don't know the magnitude of the struggle. But Father, we know that there is a struggle. And knowing, God, that there is a struggle, and knowing, Father, that we have been given this assignment, not as a penance, not as a punishment, not as a means to an end, but Father, you gave us this assignment because you understand, God, that you love us, and that you will see us through it. But sometimes, Father, the assignment, Lord God, is a little bit more difficult than what we are capable of carrying. You said to us that you will never put more on us than we could bear. We've heard this throughout our life. We've heard this throughout our walk with you, that you will never put more on us than we can bear. You said this through people. You said this through friends and family, and you said this through preachers, and you said this through prophets. But Father, we are in a point right now to where we feel like, God, it is too much. But Lord, I know that you are a God that has the capability to keep us. You'll meet us in our most broken places. You'll meet us in our most difficult places. And you will strengthen us, oh God, when we are weak. Matter of fact, your scripture says that in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. So we trust you, Father, to do what you said you're going to do. You're going to come in and you're going to work this thing for our good. You're going to turn it and make it work for our favor. We're going to trust you, oh God, even when we can't trace you. We're going to trust you. We're going to see you in this thing. But Lord, give us the capability to look with a new eye. Give us the capability, God, to look at it in a new way. Give us the capability, Father, to see it in the vision that you will have us to see it in. Lord, that we don't lose hope, and that we don't lose peace, and Father, that we don't lose ourselves. God, touch our hearts our physical heart, our mental heart, our emotional heart. Touch our hearts today and work in us, work on us, that we will live according to what you said, that we're born to see. And that the graces of your peace, God, strive with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers, hang in there. Hang in there, brothers. There was a reason for this today. There was a reason for this today. Man of God, there was a reason for this today. We gave clarity to some places because there's a lot of men that struggle with this. They struggle with the balance. Struggle with the balance. But because you are God and you are God all by yourself, Father, we know that you will get us in our balanced place. You get us in our balanced place. Listen, guys, we only have 90 seconds left. We want to thank you guys for tuning in and being a part of today's broadcast. We love you. We appreciate you. And know that we are praying for you, and we are praying consistently for you. And know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. We can ask or think, and he is God, and he is God all by himself. Bless you. We appreciate you. We look forward to you guys joining us next week on another Man Up Monday broadcast. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.